May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1047. By whom shall Jacob now arise? For Jacob's friends are few. And what should fill us with surprise? They seem divided too. Hymn 1047.
Took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly,
and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave, and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of many, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast in. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the night, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the night, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and help his servant to pray.
Most merciful and gracious God, we need thee now to solemnise our minds and our hearts, that we might truly worship thee. Oh, we pray for the divine help and influence of thy blessed Holy Spirit, that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth and in the beauty of holiness. Lord, we come before thee exactly as we are, with nothing to bring of ourselves, for our best is stained and died with sin, our all is nothing worth. But oh, we would seek for grace to plead the precious name of Jesus, that name the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. Lord, we would plead thy precious blood, that blood that cleanseth from all sin, thy glorious merits and righteousness. And oh, we do seek that we might have sweet access at the throne of grace. Lord, we need thee to grant to us a truly broken heart, a contrite spirit. We need thee, dear Lord, to grant to us that real heart repentance of our many, many sins. Oh, that we may be at thy dear feet in humble confession. And, O Lord, begging for mercy pleading to be washed in the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, do come, dear Lord, and sweetly assure us that thou hast put away all our sins at Calvary. And oh, may we be favoured with the sweet application of thy precious blood in our souls. Oh, that we may be clothed in thy glorious righteousness. And, O Lord, do come and sweetly assure us that we're in that narrow way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, ever keep us from taking things for granted, but may we have that heavenly diligence to make our calling and election sure. Oh, do confirm to us, dear Lord, that thou hast quickened us into life, that we are truly born of the Spirit. Oh, may we have that real hunger and thirst for thy truth, a blessed appetite for vital things. Oh, we pray that we may be ever kept from having just a name of religion or just an outward profession, and may we be in possession of those precious vital truths and be born of the Spirit. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt feed our souls with that bread from heaven. For thou hast said, man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God, and doth man live. O Lord, may thy word be applied with divine power. May we know more and more, Lord, of the application of it in our souls. May it be life and power to us. Oh, we pray for thy sweet presence to be known and felt here this evening, both in our souls and within these walls. We may prove what the hymn writer said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. O Lord, we do need thee to speak to our poor soul. For thou hast said, my sheep, hear my voice. Oh, that we may have that ear to hear what thou wilt speak, and what the Spirit speaketh unto the churches. O Lord, we seek for grace to know thy will and to discern thy will. And may we be given that grace of humility to be submissive to thy mind and will in all things. Oh, keep us, dear Lord, from ourselves. Keep us from our pride and self-righteousness. And oh, do keep us tender, Lord, and in thy fear. Oh, do keep us, Lord, at thy dear feet. May we be like dear Mary that we have read of, at the feet of Jesus. And, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt meet the cases of thy dear people this evening. We would pray with the psalmist, leave not my soul destitute. Oh, that thou wilt say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And we pray that thou wilt lift up those that are bowed down and weighed down. Lord, thou alone canst raise their souls above the ground. You comfort those that are sorrowful. Lord, may they know that sweet comfort from heaven. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Lord, who turn the sorrows, we beseech thee, of thy people into joy. May they prove thy precious promise. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, do hasten the hour, Lord, when thou wilt turn the sorrows into joy, as thou didst to thy dear disciples. For thou didst say to them, and your joy no man shall take from you. And oh, may we have that faith to believe, Lord, that thou wilt yet turn the sorrows and captivity and bondage of thy people into joy and liberty. Lord, look upon thy tempted followers. Help them to watch and to pray. Lord, who come and cast the adversary out. Thou knowest how active he is and how real he is. A mighty foe, Lord. Lord, who come and deliver us from his power. O Lord, remember those in affliction's pathway. There are many laid aside of thy dear children and thy dear servants. We pray that thou wilt grant that needed healing if it's thy will, and restoring mercies. Oh, if it would please thee, dear Lord, oh, do come and sanctify these things. For thou hast said thou dost not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Oh, may it please thee to draw near to each one, Lord, and make their beds in these afflictions. And may they have thee help to be still and know that thou art God. And who bless the dear children, dear Lord, and the dear young people. You would lovingly commit them to thee. Oh, if it would please thee to work in them while they're in early days. For thou hast said it is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. And thou didst say further that they that seek me early shall find me. And Lord, may there be those early seekers in early days. And oh, we pray that thou wilt raise up a seed that shall serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Who bless thee in Sabbath school and help the dear teachers and bless the word through them, that it may bear fruit after many days. And may there be the application of thy word, Lord, in their young hearts, that they shall never forget it, and in days to come be able to declare how thy word was made precious to them. Keep them from this world and all its attractions, and all the snares and dangers in natural religion. Bless them, Lord, with that which is of thee and that which is real, and thou wilt stand them in good stead, both for time and for eternity. And do provide God-fearing husbands, God-fearing wives, suitable employment, Lord, where there are those that seek it. Oh, do provide for each one and each in need, Lord. We would especially pray for Sarah, Lord, that thou would give her safe deliverance at the appointed time. And may the dear babe be blessed with all its faculties and be raised up to be a vessel of mercy. Bless her and her dear husband and all in the family in concern at this time. And we pray that thou would hear the prayers that go forth and grant safe deliverance. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember all the aged of the flock and aged in Zion, and remember them in their declining days, and sweetly prepare them and prepare us each, dear Lord. For we know not what a day or an hour will bring forth. Oh, that we might be ready, waiting for thy coming. O Lord, we do seek for those that have heavy burdens, that thou would undertake for them and help them to cast them all upon thee. And those who have got impossible things, oh, may it please thee to give faith to believe that there is nothing impossible with thee or too hard for thee. Who bless the deacons and guide and direct them and give them all needed wisdom and grace. And who bless the hymns they give out. And Lord, do add to the church precious souls if it would please thee yet. Oh, may there be an adding to the congregation of many that shall yet fear thee and know thee. May be, Lord, there are those in this village. Oh, if it would please thee, awaken many sinners round to come and fill the place. And may Zion be revived and built up. And oh, Lord, do bless thy dear servant. And help thy servants, especially those, Lord, in travelling those many miles. We pray for the convoy of thy love to go with them. And that thou wilt fulfil thy precious word, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Lord, how we need it continually. And in mercy do turn this nation from all its sin and wickedness and idols to serve thee. And may thy fear and grace be put in our Prime Minister and leaders in the government and in those that bear office in the land. And oh, we pray that they may be brought to turn to thee and look to thee for their own souls and for this nation. And may all the laws that are contrary to thy word yet be overthrown, and right laws be on our statute book. Lord, in the midst of deserved wrath, remember mercy still. And oh, do come, dear Lord, and bless thy people where they be, whatever state or case. May none be forgotten of thee. Lord, do come and bless our Queen in this Diamond Jubilee year. May it be a time of real blessing to her and to the royal household. May she and may they and may this nation give thee all the praise. And we would praise thee, dear Lord, for all thy many, many mercies to us. We would not let them lie, forgotten in unthankfulness, nor without praises done. Help us to sing thy praises from our hearts, with gracious understanding. And oh, do bless our own flock as they gather for prayer this evening. Hear their prayers for us as we would seek to pray for them. Do anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. May the dear friends lose sight of this poor man and see no man save Jesus only. Forgive all our many, many sins. We would ask it in the precious name of the dear Lord Jesus and for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 909. Why, drooping saint, dismayed, does sorrow press thee down? Has God refused to give thee aid, or does he seem to frown? Hymn 909.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to John's Gospel, chapter 12, and the 21st verse. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, and verse 21. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. The Gospel according to John, chapter 12, and verse 21. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. It is really, beloved friends, those last few words that have been with me. Sir, we would see Jesus. What a mercy it is if each of our hearts have that sacred desire that these Greeks that came to Philip had. Think first of all of the circumstances that had taken place prior to this. The wonderful bringing forth of Lazarus from the tomb. Here the Saviour manifested his great power, and raising Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days, into life. And there's no doubt this had a great effect, as we read in the lesson this evening, upon many, both of the Jews and also of these Greeks. And do we not need the Lord to thus appear today and manifest that same power? We think of those beautiful words the Saviour spoke as he was to send forth the dear disciples into the ministry. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And here he wonderfully manifests that power. We read, don't we, in Isaiah, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. But we think of the desire that is set before us in this, and I seek to be led into it. You know, there are very precious desires the Lord gives to his dear children. You may feel sometimes that your desires are, like the hymn writer, feel so feeble. Those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids us still seek. Now this was a God-given desire that was set forth here by these Greeks when they came to Philip and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. You see, Philip and those other disciples had very close union with Christ, very close dealings with him. And these Greeks, you know, they desired to see him, a precious Jesus. We would see Jesus. Now, have we this desire? Because it's not the desire, is it, of the world or of the ungodly? But it's the fervent desire given by God. You see, real fervent desires are given by the Lord himself. And those desires will be fulfilled in his time, not in ours. And those desires that are real will, in God's time, be brought to fruition. They may be tried severely by Satan. You may be tempted sore that the desires are only of the carnal mind and of the flesh. But what will that do when the devil attacks you on that ground? It'll bring you to plead and me to the, for the Lord to confirm that the desire is real. And these desires, such as this, was a fervent desire. Oh, it was. An earnest desire. They wanted to see Jesus. Now, how were they to see him? And how does the poor soul in 2012 see him? Well, not with our natural eyes shall we behold the Lord. There were those, of course, while he walked this earth, that were favoured to see him with their natural eyes. But how close that came, because so many that saw even the miracles that he performed with their natural eye, they still did not believe. They were still sunk in unbelief. But there were those that not only saw him with their natural eye, they were blessed with the eye of faith. And this is what these Greeks desired, to see him by precious faith. You know, I may have said it before here, but you know, the Lord, when he quickens his dear people into life and they are truly born again, it's like a little babe when that is born, that's born with all the faculties it will ever have. And as that little babe grows, so will those faculties grow. And one wonderful faculty of the newborn child of God is the eye of faith. Faith owes its birth to sovereign grace and is the gift of God. And faith will ever want to view the dear Redeemer. Oh, to behold him by faith. Let me just tarry a moment here, because, you know, right through the Old Testament, those precious patriarchs, all those years before the coming of the dear Redeemer, were blessed with some blessed views of Christ by faith. They saw Jesus. You go back to Noah. How when he was building that ark and it was completed, The dear man saw a blessed view of Christ there, because what did the Lord say to him when the ark was completed? Come thou and thy household into the ark. You see, there was his safety, and he could view in the glorious Redeemer, all his safety was there. Just as it was in the safety of their bodies in the ark when the great flood came, he saw the day of Christ. And then godly Abraham, when he was to offer up Isaac, you remember how the Lord wonderfully provided that ram caught in the thicket. He saw the day of Christ and was glad. Oh, he did. Blessed view it was. That ram, a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. You see, the ram was to be offered in the room, place, and stead of Isaac. And a precious Jesus was to be offered in the room, place, and stead of his dear people. He bore all their sins away. Laid down his precious life. Oh, to see Jesus like they did. And then you can look at it in the case of dear Job. What did he say? I know that my Redeemer liveth. I heard one of the old servants of God many years ago say this. He said, you know, dear Job had one of the most blessed views of Christ a sinner could ever be favoured with. And that's what enabled him to say, I know. He didn't say, I think, or perhaps it'd be so. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Who was his glorious Redeemer? None other than a precious Jesus. And so you could look at many precious characters through the Old Testament. They saw him by living faith. And oh, that we might have that eye of faith to view the dear Redeemer. Now, let me come low tonight. Is it our desire tonight to see him? Well, let us look at a few places where we shall see him. You think as you come up to the house of God here, and it may be in other places, you know what to make the house of God a very precious spot to your longing, exercised soul. It'll be when you see Jesus. What does the hymn writer say? What is the house to me unless the Master there I see? Is to see him, a precious Christ within the walls. The hymn writer said, didn't he, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. Many of you will know that over many years now, I have prayed in many services that the hearers might lose sight of the poor preacher and see no man save Jesus only. And you'll never forget, poor soul, the times you're favoured with him. The hymn writer said, had I a glance of thee, my God, kingdoms and men would vanish soon. vanish as though I saw them not, like a dim candle dies anew. Oh, to see him in the sanctuary. It's not all the fair palace, is it, to which the great resort wants to be compared to this where Jesus holds his court. You take dear David, how many times throughout the Psalms his fervent desire was to be in God's house. And why was it? Why did he love the house of God so? He said, I love the habitation of thy house, the place where thine honour dwelleth. Was it not because there were those times where he saw the dear Redeemer there and he heard the Lord's voice there? We would see Jesus. The hymn writer said, while walking in the gospel way, we would see Jesus every day. And is that not your soul's desire and mine? And why do you want to see him? Because everything that you need is found in him. Everything. It's all found in the dear Redeemer. Did he not say through the Apostle Paul to the church of Philippi, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It all flows through him, you see. There are two things that seem to be upon one spirit here, and it's this. First of all, the blessed suitability of Christ, suited to every sinner's case. You think of the characters that had to come to him while here in this earth. Those that were blind, those that were lame, those that had sore afflictions like the woman with the issue of blood. Those that were in soul trouble. Those that were harassed by Satan. And you look how suited he was to their case. It's a very sacred spot and place to meditate, isn't it, upon the suitability of Christ. And how suited his precious blood is to black, vile sinners. And in your desire to see him, you'll want to see that suitability, and the Lord will show it to faith. And faith will reach out for it. You see, not only were these Greeks longing to see him, their soul was reaching out for him. It's like the spouse in the Song of Solomon. You know, when she sought to find her beloved, he had withdrew himself and gone into the streets, she did, and to the lanes of the city, trying to find him. She sought him upon her bed, but she found him not. She said to the watchman in the city, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? The point I want to come to is this. What happened when she found him? Not only did she see him by faith, as her Saviour, her Redeemer, her all, the arms of faith were then active and the hands of faith were active. She wanted to hold him. She said, I held him and would not let him go. See the faculties of faith. Sir, we would see Jesus. But then the second thing was this. And what a sweet point of meditation it is, really. The preciousness of Christ. Well could Peter say unto you, therefore which believe, he is precious. He's precious to sinners. He's precious to those that know the Lord. And he'll make that preciousness known, you see. Oh, he will. That comes ever so close, you know. I often think of what the hymn writer said, that he's more precious than our daily food. And you think how precious that is and how vital it is to us. But more precious still is his vital blood. Oh, the precious blood of Jesus. Well could Peter again say in his epistle, ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. But he goes on to say this, doesn't he? But with the precious blood of Christ. That precious blood. And you see why it's so precious? Is because it cleanses the blackest, vilest of sinners of all sin. Not some of it. All sin. Every spot, every stain, we would see Jesus. Oh, to see a little of his preciousness. His suitability. And desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. But then, oh, to see him in his precious word. What makes the word of God so precious to the Lord's dear children? It's because it's full of Christ. Oh, it is. I may have told you this before, but, you know, just before I joined the church in 1963, when I was so exercised concerning that sacred ordinance and sitting at the Lord's table, it didn't matter where I read in the Word of God, it was full of Christ. You know, I've never forgot it. The very name of Jesus was so precious to me. Oh, it was. It didn't seem to matter where I opened the Word, it seemed full of Christ. Oh, to have such a time yet again. Do you know what it is to see Jesus in the Word? He's not the print on the page, is it? It's the Holy Spirit taking of the things of Jesus and revealing them unto us, revealing a precious Christ to the poor sinner's heart as their Saviour, their Redeemer, to see him in the Word. And that's what makes it so precious. You see, take the promises. The sweet promises of God throughout the Word. They are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Some of the old preachers used to say, if you take Christ out of the Word of God, there's nothing left. And you know, that is blessedly true, really. Because faith will view the dear Redeemer in his precious word. It may be the Lord makes a word very precious to you from the word of God. He may be reading it in the closet. It may be when it is read in the house of God, and it's so attracted to your poor soul because it's full of Christ, his precious name, a name just suited to our case. We sing in the hymn, don't we, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds. Who to? In a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. But then, to see Christ in the ministry. An ever-exalted Saviour. Oh, that we might ever lift the dear Redeemer high on the gospel pole. He said, did he not, in what we read together in verse 32 this evening, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me. And that the ministry may ever exalt a precious Jesus, lift him high on the gospel pole. I hope, if not awfully deceived, I've known a few times where we've sat under the preaching of the word, and as Christ has been preached, it's been very precious to my soul. As he's been exalted. And what will this do? When Christ is exalted in our heart, he's lifted up in our soul's esteem, we'll be laid in the dust. We'll be humbled in the dust. Melted before him. And to have a Christ exalting ministry, I often think it sometimes makes me tremble really, as we go in our own pulpit at home at the Dicker, and I think of those dear old pastors that have gone before, and their ministry, to read some of the accounts of their ministry, it was a Christ exalting ministry. Oh, it was. And if Christ is exalted, the sinner will be laid in the dust. Oh, to see Jesus in the ministry. Maybe some of you can look back through your short life or long life, and you may say, but there have been those times where we've seen Jesus as the servants of God have preached. And that'll draw you to the servants of God, it will. Because, you see, they are, as Mr. Gascoigne used to say, the pipes that the golden oil flows through. They're the instruments, you see. The golden oil flows from heaven, but, you see, it's exhorting a precious cry. Revealed by the Holy Spirit to the sinner's heart. We would see Jesus. But then, another place where you will see him will be sometimes in some of the trials and afflictions that you have to walk through. We often, and it's been with me much today, we often pray this, that we might see Jesus. But we don't know what we may have to walk through to view him. Oh no. I know the Lord is a sovereign in that, so I would tread very carefully. Because there will be times where you will have to walk through maybe deep afflictions, maybe of body, and maybe in your soul, that you might see him. But you think, what a make the affliction sweet, what a make the trial sweet, the providential trial, the trial of faith, what a make it sweet is when you can see Jesus in it. Oh yes. Especially when we come into seasons of great pain and anguish. You know, I often think of a dear lady that used to attend us at Ashwell in the latter part of her life. And she had to go into a Lister hospital at Stevenage for a very serious operation. And in that hospital, I went to see her after she'd been brought through the operation, and she said, you know, right the way through all I had to go through prior to the operation and then in it and then as I came through it, she said, you know, I thirsted and they gave me water. She said immediately as she felt that thirst and needed water, she said immediately my heart went to the Lord Jesus at Calvary. How he thirsted, but they gave him vinegar. Her heart was drawn away from what she was in by viewing what he was in. And she said, when I had great pain, she said they gave me either an injection or medication to help the pain. She said he had nothing when he bore those sins, she said, of your heart and mine. And she said, you know, the agonies that he endured. Now these things were before her all the way through it. We would see Jesus. And you know that dear woman in all what she, and I just named two of the things she said, many others to me, but her whole heart and all her conversation while she was in that hospital was upon Christ. It was such a sacred place to be in. But she had to come into that affliction, you see, and that agony to know what it was to view him, the dear Redeemer. And you know, really, that was a wonderful anointing for her burial, because though the Lord brought her through it and she lived a few years afterwards, she was continually going back to that time. We would see Jesus. And I've known a little, and I don't want to say anything to lift up the flesh, but I knew a little of some of the things that she was in, how we had to walk the same. Some of you may feel despised tonight, maybe by the world or professors of religion, or despised even by God's dear people. And you come into that path which is painful and crucifying to the flesh. But oh, if the Lord leads you a little into Isaiah 53, you think of the dear Redeemer. He was despised and rejected of men. Oh, he was. And you know, if the Lord leads you into that sacred 53rd of Isaiah, you'll know what it is to see Jesus. Oh, you will. In all though he was despised and rejected of men. And that's why I just step back to what I said about dear Job. You know, he had to come into all that trial and all that loss to know the beauties there were in the dear Redeemer. He was all glorious to Job, the precious Christ was. I love that word in Isaiah where it says, glorious in his apparel. And dear Job viewed it. Oh, he did. And it may be that the Lord is leading some of you young ones into things that are very difficult, very trying, and it brings you to your knees before the Lord many times. But as faith is given, you begin to view a little of what he endured. What do we sing? What he endured, no tongue can tell, to save our souls from death and hell. His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer and shall I repine? You know, when the way is hard and difficult and the flesh doesn't like it, does it? It wants the path easy. But our poor soul in it, some of the best views, and I speak that with much reverence, of a precious Christ, a very precious to your soul. Oh, they will be. The season will be sweet. Not only were you in the house of God, but in the depths of these trials, if Jesus be but there. It seemed very confirming to me that our dear brother in the vestry prayed for the very two things that were with me. That we might see Jesus. And then he prayed too that his presence may be known and felt. Then he prayed too this, that what the dear disciples experienced in the Mount of Transfiguration, where they saw no man save Jesus only. And that leads me to this. In that mount, they had to come into a cloud. Or they did. They'd seen Moses and Elias talking with Jesus. And there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And some of the clouds that the Lord's dear people come into are very dark, very thick. And sometimes you wonder whether you'll ever come out of them. I think I quoted last night at the prayer meeting, ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. But you know, they weren't to be left in that cloud, were they? But they had to come into it. And in that cloud, what did they hear? A blessed voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And what do we read? When the cloud was lifted up, they saw no man save Jesus only. And if the Lord lifts the cloud, poor soul, of unbelief, the cloud of sin, the cloud of darkness, what will faith be? In a view, the dear Redeemer, they saw no man save Jesus only. And desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. But But then to those of you that may be exercised concerning the sacred ordinances of God's house, of baptism, we think of going through those sacred waters. Oh, to see Jesus in it. You go into Matthew chapter 3, where we read of the sacred baptism of Christ. Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. You may have read the account or heard it of William Huntingdon. Now, William Huntingdon was never exercised concerning the step of baptism like many of the Lord's children are. And he had a godly lady in his congregation that came to him and said to him, "Mr. Huntingdon, I am so full of the love of Christ. All I want to do is to be baptized and to follow him." And dear Mr. Huntingdon, he said to her, "Well, my dear, why do you want to go through those waters?" And in a sense, he couldn't understand it because he was not in it himself. She said, "Well, it's like this. I've had a glimpse by faith of Jesus in the waters. I've seen him." And dear Mr. Huntingdon, it really gripped his heart, to use that word rightly. He said to her, "My dear, if you've seen Christ in those waters, then you go." You think of the grace the dear man showed, you see. There's a lot of controversy with the Presbyterians over baptism, where they cannot agree with us in immersion. But you know, that dear man, you see, show grace in him. If you've seen Jesus in the waters, then you go, my dear. He wasn't going to hinder if Christ was in it, you see. And I say that for your encouragement tonight. Oh, to see him. To see him going before you. To see him making the way. To see him upholding you through all the exercise, the concern. We would see Jesus. But then to the venturing soul, this will be your desire. You'll want to see him in every step, going before, making the crooked things straight, the rough places plain, the darkness light. I think of that beautiful word the Lord spoke to dear Joshua, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Two things, and I must leave it because of the time, but first of all, oh, to see Jesus in his dear people. We would see Jesus. I hope, if not awfully deceived, there's been a few dear souls I've seen Christ in them. It's a sacred soul that has Christ within them. I think of the late Mrs. Noble we had at Ashwell, you know, she was, many of you will remember, such a quaint little lady, and, you know, simple in many ways, I went to see her on one occasion, and I should never forget it. I went in the house, and you know, she was full of Christ. If ever I saw a precious Jesus in a dear soul, it was in her. And his sacred presence filled the house. Oh, it did. It wasn't long before the Lord took her to glory. We would see Jesus. You look at it in the Word of God. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It was seen, it was evident. May our walk, our steps declare of him. It's not big words of ready talkers. It's humble walkers. These are they that Jesus loves. It's how the sinner walks, you see. This is where we need much grace. Walking before the Lord, walking before his people, walking before the world. Because if we've got Christ in us, it'll be seen. And it'll be seen even by the wicked. The final thing, and I must leave it, is this. Oh, to have a glimpse of him in glory. As our blessed mediator and intercessor, pleading on our behalf, taking our poor petitions, presenting them before God the Father, perfumed by his precious blood. And then, oh, to see him as he is in glory, and view him face to face. Does your soul long for that day? We have sweet tastes here, don't we? But then we shall see him without a veil between, and see him as he is. Amen.
God willing, Dr. Sadler will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Chapman on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 804. Ye lambs of Christ's fold, ye weaklings in faith, who long to lay hold on life by his death, who fain would believe him, and in your best room would gladly receive him, but fear to presume. Hymn 804.
forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss, who come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts, who bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep, and may we be favoured more and more to see Jesus every day. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.